You know, if you watch the news, we are living in a world of crisis.
Amen.
And it seems like all of these crises are critical issues. And if you don't take care of this, then all sorts of bad things are going to happen. Folks, it's going to be like that because we are living in the last days.
Amen.
Tonight, I would like you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and the title of my message tonight is something that was on Paul's heart, and it's a matter of life or death. A matter of life or death. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 26. And as he writes here to the Philippian church, he says in verse 20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am estranged betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You know, the issue is life and death awaits us every day. It, God holds our breath in His hands. Daniel writes in Daniel chapter 5, the last part of verse 23, when he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar and all the things Nebuchadnezzar does. But Nebuchadnezzar came to this conclusion. It says, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. That's what Nebuchadnezzar, he was not glorifying God. And folks, we need to glorify God with every breath we have.
Amen.
With every breath we have. There's a lot of people that don't care about God. There's a lot of people say there is no God. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. But they don't realize that God made all these things. God made them. God gave them life for this day. God holds our breath in His hands.
Amen.
We have no guarantee of even tonight.
Right.
It's only by the grace of God that I am what I am.
Amen.
We all have an appointment with death. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and as it appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will stand before God one day, every one of us. It will be at the bema seat of Christ for those who believe, or at the great white throne judgment for those who are resurrected out of hell and then thrown in the lake of fire. But the issue is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have eternal life? That's why Christ came to earth.
Amen.
To give us eternal life. And the young may die, but the old man, that's not just talking about age, that's talking about our old nature, must die. It must die. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, we have an issue in our life every day. And that issue is this. We need to be ready to live or to die. That was the issue here that Paul was writing here. So we're going to look at three things here about Paul. We're going to look at Paul's aim. We're going to look at Paul's assurance, and then we're going to look at Paul's anticipation. First of all, let's look at Paul's aim. Paul's aim was either to be dead or alive. You say, that's kind of odd. But in verse 20 it says here, it says, according to my earnest and sagacious thesis, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as also as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by what? By life or by death. See, Paul's aim was that Christ should be magnified in my body. Amen. And folks, that's an aim for every one of us.
Amen.
You know, the issue is, this has not always been Paul's goal. You know, once he had taken great pride in his ancestry, and if you go into chapter 3 when he's defending his faith, in Philippians 3 verses 4 through 6, we see who he was before he met Christ. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. See, Paul had an incredible pedigree as Saul. He had a tremendous Jewish pedigree. He says here in verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. See, he had been a Pharisee, a religious leader, but that wasn't good enough. He had promoted himself and worked up the ladder of the hierarchy in the Jewish political realm, in the religious realm, but that didn't matter. That was not going to get them. He hated Christ and he had zeal. He was a very religious man, but religion won't get you to heaven. Amen. And what we need to understand is that his meeting Christ on the Damascus Road changed all of this. Changed all of this. We know the story in Acts chapter 9, but there's a fundamental principle here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. He later on says, he says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forth to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So, you know, living for Christ, not everybody's goal, but it better be ours. If you've been saved, it is your goal. It is your goal. Now, Paul endured great persecution for the cause of Christ. He underwent extreme physical dangers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 27, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labors more abundant. And stripes above measure. And prisons more frequent. And death oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In peril of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and naked. This is what Paul went through. But he had the clarity of thought and a love for Christ that he could say, it's all about him. It's not about me. I don't feel sorry for all those things. All those things further the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And folks, his meeting with Christ changed him. And changed him from Saul to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And it made everybody go nuts in the religious circles and the Jews, because those who persecuted the church are now a defender of the faith. So, Christ needs to be magnified in his body. He didn't matter. It didn't matter what he went through. And folks, it doesn't matter. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
Now Paul endured great persecution for the cause of Christ, and then he accepted sufferings to honor his Lord. You know, he tells Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have tribulation. Okay? But be of good cheer. This morning we started with this with the kids. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen... Do you realize what we have as Christians? Do we truly realize? We have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have God inside of us. All things are possible to them that believe. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, puzzled, can't figure things out, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, because God is always with you.
Amen.
Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yes.
He said, every church he writes to, he talks about this. Folks, this should be on every breath we take, because God gives us that breath. But he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That what? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. This morning we talked about, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're full of the Holy Spirit, those things are going to come out.
Amen.
Those things are going to come out. For which we live, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Follow Paul's aim. He says, to die is to magnify Christ. To live is to magnify Christ. Paul counted all things but loss for Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 7 through 10, I suggest that if you've never read Philippians all the way through, you ought to. Because the other chapters support what he wrote in chapter 1.
Amen.
It says, but what things were gained to me? All that pedigree, all those things he did, all that zeal that was misdirected. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What are you willing to give up? What should you give up in order to know more about him? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul's aim, either in death or life, or being alive, was Christ. What is your aim? Magnifying Christ was the aim of Paul's life. Magnifying Christ should be the aim of our lives. Amen? Amen. Paul's aim, dead or alive, was to magnify Christ. Paul had assurance, dead or alive, which was Christ. He wrote this, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know something? Haven't you ever been in those situations You might have been playing a game with your kids. You might have been playing some other competition. And you put yourself, and you found yourself in a position you couldn't lose. How did it make you feel? You knew you were going to win. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? Now, come on! I know it makes you feel good, okay? I know it makes you feel good. Paul was convinced he couldn't lose. And folks, anyone who knows Christ as their Savior, you can't lose.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors through Him. Paul's assurance about living is Christ. Christ would be his confidence. As we go through a couple more verses in Philippians chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, if there be any any consolation, Christ, if there be any comfort and love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, it's all about Christ. Paul was convinced he could not lose. His assurance about living is Christ. Christ would be his example. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we need to get our thinking fixed.
Amen.
Get rid of stinking thinking and start having right thinking. And start having the mind of Christ. And start thinking godly thoughts. And start setting your affection on things above. And start thinking on things that are pure and holy and honest and of good report and in virtuous. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Folks, it's not about you. It's about others.
Amen.
See, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're full of the Holy Spirit, it's about giving salt and about giving peace, about giving thanks, and about giving place to other people. It's about that. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Christ's assurance about living is Christ, because Christ would be his confidence. Christ would be his example. Christ would always enable him to rejoice. In Philippians 3 verse 1 it says, finally my brethren, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. But folks, we need to be careful that we keep on hearing the same thing. Why are we hearing the same thing? Maybe it's because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's because we're quenching the Holy Spirit and we don't listen. But Paul said, I don't care. He says, for you to get the truth and live the truth, that's what it's all about. For you to find Christ, that's what it's about. Christ would enable him to do all things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ will supply all his needs. In Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ, Paul's assurance about living was Christ. Folks, we know these verses. But do we live them? Do we live them? Do we have satisfaction in them? Do we have confidence in them? Do we have peace in them? Can we see God work? Does God work through us? Paul's assurance about dying was gain. He says, I count all these things loss that I may win Christ. Paul found it hard to choose. He said he was between two opinions that are difficult to choose from. Folks, it should not be difficult to choose Christ in everything. The issue is how do we do it? So Paul's assurance, dead or alive, was about Christ. Paul's anticipation, dead or alive, he says, I am in a strait betwixt two. Paul's first desire was to depart and be with Christ. Because he says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he perceived as what? Far better. Far better. He writes to the Thessalonican church. He says, don't live like people who have no hope. We have this hope.
Amen.
And the God of all grace fill you with hope. Fill you with joy. But he understood that he was also eager to keep serving Christ. This morning when you woke up and you knew it was Sunday morning, were you excited about coming to church? Were you excited about hearing God's word? Were you excited about having the opportunity to serve? Folks, we need that mindset. Every day is his day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
We need to understand that. He understood that for the present time, as he's writing this letter, to abide in the flesh was more needful for you. Folks, you can't lose with Christ. You won't lose your life. Whosoever loseth his life for my sake will what? Find it. It's time to find the life in Christ that God wants us to have. It's time to start looking and make him our aim. Make him our assurance. Make him our anticipation. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you have another opportunity to serve the God creator of the universe and your Savior. How is that going to work out in your life tomorrow? Another matter of life and death is, what are we going to do about it? It's each and every one of our decisions. I'll leave you with this thought, and it's pretty profound. No one is ready to live until ready to die. You can't live a successful life down here unless you are prepared for what's going to happen after you die.
Amen.
If you're not prepared, you're going to live a life of worry, fear, torment, just can't seem to be satisfied. If you know where you're going when you die, you'll have one of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and faith and temperance and meekness. What's it going to be? Do you know him as your Savior? Don't leave here tonight without knowing that heaven is your eternal destination.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for mankind's sin, was buried, on the third day rose again, and offers eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And he gives life abundantly.
Amen.
Do you have abundant life tonight? If not, why not? Confess what's holding you back. Confess what's holding you back and get that right with God. And let's live for Christ. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you at the time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to live for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the hope that you give us. Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight as we leave this place, but be with the fellowship now, that we would just have a good time, Lord, and bless the nourishment. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.